What's up and welcome to the Single Player Experience. As always, I'm your host, Sebastian Malden, and in this episode, I'm going to give you two indie game recommendations, but that's not all. I'm also going to chat with the creator and solo developer of these two games. That's right, in this episode, I'm going to talk to Justin, aka Sour J, about his games, Dead Event and Movie Quest. We're going to talk about both games, and Justin is going to share his inspirational journey of what he went through and overcame to create these two games. We got all this and more coming right at you, right after the intro. DJ, start the intro, man. This is the Single Player Experience, the podcast that helps single player gamers manage their video game backlog. I'm your host, Sebastian Malden, and my main quest is to help you manage your ever-growing video game backlog by letting you know which single-player games are worth your time and money so that you can have the best single-player experience. Now, without further ado, let's start the show. DJ, cut the beat. Ladies and gentlemen, like I said in the intro, we have a very special guest today. He is the creator and solo developer of the indie game Dead Event and Movie Quest. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Justin, aka Sour J. How you doing today, Justin?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Glad to have you on the show. So, for the people who may not know you, can you introduce yourself to the audience?
Yeah, my name's Justin. You might know me as Sour J on Twitter. That's my screen name. I am the, like you said, the developer of two games, Dead Event and Movie Quest. I do that independently by myself. For about 5 years now.
Man, that's incredible. So, well, right off the bat, like every time I have a new guest, I have a segment called Putting You on the Spot. This allows people to get to know you a little bit, as well as I kind of get to hit you with that 1-2 punch right at the very beginning, you know? So I'm gonna put you on the spot real quick. What's your top five games of all time? I'm just gonna hit you with a big, heavy question.
Ah, geez. Well, I'd have to say Warcraft 3 The Frozen Throne would be my first. Good RTS game, back all the way back in 2003, got me into gaming. There's a lot of mods for that. That's where Dota and League of Legends came from.
That's
speaking
incredible.
Of League of Legends, mm-hmm. That would be my second. It's a little cringe to be my second, but it's come a long way, from being the creator was partially with the Dota creator from Warcraft 3, and it's a love-hate relationship for me.
Okay. I like the first two choices. So what's the third?
Well, I would have to say World of Warcraft. I played that for such a long time, and it kind of innovated the whole MMORPGs. There's a lot of MMORPGs before that, like, RuneScape and things like that. But I really got to give it to World of Warcraft on that one, just for making that consistency with it. Fourth, I would say Minecraft.
Okay. That one is so far none of these games, all these kind of games like match up, and then you throw Minecraft in there. That one kind of surprised me.
I got to, man. And that's the thing. It's for everyone. And mm-hmm. That's what's cool about it. Kids can play it. Adults can play it. You can mod it. It's just such a cool game for its time. It brings so many good times for me. And I actually learned a lot from game development from it. I learned how to mod things, how to code in JavaScript and things like that from just playing on Minecraft. That's how I basically got my foundation for game development.
That is crazy, because I had an interview the other day where a guy mentioned a very similar thing about Minecraft. He said it really inspired him as well as a solo developer. It is so cool how Minecraft has basically like inspired a whole new generation of developers,
Yeah, it kind of like opened the door for me to get me into really learning, how to make games. Like, you'd be surprised how much goes behind those mods that people make, with crazy things like running water in Minecraft, things that you can't normally do in the regular version, electricity and things like that.
I wouldn't be surprised if like this inspires a whole new generation of kids, like, and kids feel more comfortable going into video game development because of Minecraft.
Exactly. And, it's a really good tool and a really good educational thing to learn off of, too. I wasn't even expecting anything serious out of it. I made a few servers, had some people on. I think I made like $20. I wasn't really trying to like make money or anything, and it just was a really good learning experience for me, especially as a young adult, and never really think that would come out of such a blocky game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because that was my hurdle when I first heard of Minecraft. It was the visuals of it, because I was used to games, especially being that I'm a 90s kid. So when I started gaming, the visual quality of games kept going higher and higher and higher. And then here comes this game that looks very much like a 2D blocky, almost, well, you get what I mean, like a three-dimensional blocky game. And I'm like, okay, that's a huge step backwards from what I'm used to. But that game took over, just completely took over.
It still is number one, honestly, in a lot of people's eyes. It's still reigning king for a lot of games. And it just because it's so simple and you know, you can mod it. But speaking of mods, I'd have to throw out my fifth one here since we're on that topic.
Okay.
Gary's Mod. I don't know if you ever played it, but Gary's Mod is just the adult version of Minecraft for me, because you can do anything on that game, like literally. The possibilities are endless. I also moved over to that and kind of learned Lua scripting with that too, and had my own server for like role play and things like that. And there was a mod on there called Cinema, and you basically hang out and watch movies with friends. It's just like a YouTube player inside of the game, nothing special. Mm-hmm. I got my inspiration for my second game off that movie quest. You know, I kind of did a spinoff on that, and you know, people can watch movies in like a virtual theater.
So let's dive into your games here. Let's start with Movie Quest. Can you tell us more about the inspiration behind the game? I know you alluded to the game a minute ago, but let's dive deeper into it.
Well, Movie Quest is more of like just a virtual online theater. There was a lot of all the COVID thing going around at the time, mm-hmm. and all that. And, you know, I really loved going to the movie theater, and I couldn't. It was closed. And it just bothered me. And so I recreated like a 90s feel movie theater, like old school movie theater. You know, you go with the arcade and you can play Flappy Bird in there and all that. I don't know, maybe you got friends all over the world, and sometimes it's hard to get together and watch a movie. Sometimes, you know, you can do the voice calls and all that, but it's not the same. But with Movie Quest, you can basically, you can, you know, role play and watch a movie synced together in time. And I'm playing a lot of older movies because of the copyright issues. You know, I can't obviously play new movies. I don't have rights to it, but I'm playing, you know, public domain movies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Night of the Living Dead, you know, Little Shop of Horrors, classics that a lot of people haven't seen yet too, which is pretty cool. Kind of reimagining them in a more setting where you can like do quests and stuff like that too, like help the janitor clean up poop out of the bathroom and things like that. It's crazy things.
That makes sense. And one of the things that kind of stood out to me when I was in Movie Quest is like some of the cool artwork and like the posters you did in that. And there's some really funny ones in that. They're really,
I tried to meme as much as I could.
Yeah. And it felt like that. Like there was like a spoof on Loki that really caught my eye. And then there was like a couple of meme ones that really just like stood out to me. But I got a really cool kick out of just walking down the corridor, going into the different movies. It was almost as fun as just experiencing the movies themselves.
I appreciate it. Yeah, that would try to recreate, you know, that the whole environment of it. But you know, my first game was Dead Event. You know, it's not as like in depth and things like that, but I got a huge story about all that.
Yeah, let's dive into it. So you're alluding to a story you have to tell. Let's hear about it.
Basically years ago, I was married, you know, working my butt off at a regular job, you know, with dreams of becoming a game dev. And I wanted to make games as a career, but, you know, just messing with Minecraft mods and things like that, you know, started doing like a Unity tutorial and, you know, looking up YouTube videos, and just started to like fumble around with games and just play with the editor and learn. And my spouse at the time told me it was unrealistic to pursue any kind of career like that. You know, she said that, you know, I could get two jobs at like a grocery store or something, and it would be, you know, equivalent to the pay of that, and just kind of knocked me down a little bit with it. And I didn't pursue it. I took her advice and I didn't continue. And I ended up just putting it all on a hard drive and joining the US Army as a rifleman, which is insane for me, you know, being a computer guy and all.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that was the hardest thing I've ever done physically in my life. I was 28 years old, running around with 18-year-old kids, football players. They were just outdoing me physically, you know, and I tried my best. I tried best I could. you know, drill sergeant screaming at me saying, this isn't a video game. You can't press X to jump.
And oh, thinking, that sucks.
Yeah, like it sucked. It was bad. But I was doing it for my country and I wanted to make something in my life. And, you know, I didn't really know my way. I didn't know what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a game developer, but everyone was telling me, no, you're not going to be able to do that, especially without money for college or anything, you know. I was just learning online with YouTube and free resources. I didn't go on tour or anything. I actually got hurt during the end of training and was on crutches for about a year.
Oh no.
I hurt my knees pretty bad. I can walk now, I'm good and everything, but you know, it still kind of hurts. I'm still kind of in daily pain with it. But I got medical discharge and was sent home, at a later date. If I wanted to return to, I could, but I don't think it just wasn't for me, you know, it wasn't my thing. I tried so many other jobs too prior, like IT and call center. But the funny thing is, I actually wanted to be in IT in the Army, but the recruiter kind of misled me to be infantry because there was like a 20K bonus.
Oh,
for completing
okay.
that. And yeah. Like, oh, you can get a bunch of money if you get, you know, you get shot at. And I'm like, that's not really what I want to do, but it sounds nice. So I did it just for the, I figured the money, I could use the money to maybe pay for game for school, and they'll pay for my school for game development and whatnot. Because that's what I really wanted to do deep down inside. And once I joined, I found out I didn't qualify for that money because I had a GED. And
no.
The bonus is only for high school diploma. And it's kind of ridiculous policy they have, but even though it's the same thing.
That is crazy.
It's crazy. But anyways, after I got discharged, I got home to my wife actually divorcing me for being a failure in the military.
No.
I guess what she called it. I had that. I pretty much lost everything I had, threw everything I had left in my car and was kind of homeless for a year in my car driving across the country. No joke.
Man, I gotta know what happened next.
I ended up landing a job at a grocery store, as pushing carts.
Wow.
And, got in an apartment, got back up on my feet. You know, I listened to a lot of motivational speakers. And kind of just got my head back in the game, you know, like this is not you, you know, you need to find your way, like this is not your way, you know. So I got a better job as an IT working from home, you know, kind of just on the up and up from there and stable. And then I said, you know what, I'm not going to be complacent with that. I want to be a game developer, you know, I actually want to do that. Even if it doesn't, nothing comes out of it, at least I can say that I made a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Like a bucket list kind of. Mm-hmm. So I pulled up my old projects on my hard drive, started to make games again while working full time. Spent about 2 to 4 hours each day working, building games and learning. Became my passion, while also meeting the love of my life, supporting girlfriend now for years. So I had even less time to make games. You know, I was working, and as soon as I got off work, knock out like 2 hours of the game, you know, learn something for an hour, code something for an hour, and just grind at it every single day. And you know, I didn't stop. And 2 years later, my game dev event was playable. It's a MMORPG, and I said, okay, I'm going to publish it on Steam. I bet nobody will play it. You know, it's like nobody's going to play this. This is just for my resume. You know, it's a hobby, and maybe it'll get me an entry-level job as a game developer. That was my whole plan. Like, oh, I can take this and, you know, go to a company and let me answer the phone for you at least to get my foot in the door. You know, I made a game and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I told my girlfriend, you know, I don't expect anything. Like $0 is what I expect. I'm just putting this on my resume. It's a multiplayer game. It's just my hobby. Just because I didn't want to get my hopes up, you know, been through all that, you know, all the troubles I've been through and things like that. And because it was still a dream in a sense. So. To make a long story short, you know, the first month I made $3,000 when I published it.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing.
I had no idea that was going to happen. And some indie games don't even make $1. So I was even just blessed to have that. And the next month I ended up quitting my job because I made another $3,000. And, you know, the months following, I ended up going full-time indie game dev because of it. And it was constant. Had a player community growing on Discord. It grew to the point where I had no time to work. I was pulling, I had to quit because I was pulling all nighters grinding. Like literally I would be always up working on the game, you know, working my day job, working on the game, and I was just getting burnt out by working a job and doing game development full time. So I quit my job and, you know, and just kind of went on blindly to just follow my dreams, and it, you know, came through. I made it. I ended up making $14,000 in 6 months, way more than my $10 an hour job. And yeah, that was it. You know, I actually am a game developer now, and you know, no school, self-taught, on YouTube, no marketing effort on my part, just word of mouth from the player base. Now I'm at a point where I need to market the game while building them. And also look forward to, you know, maybe working for a bigger game company with, to expand my portfolio in the gaming industry. And I published my second game in April, Movie Quest. And I'm still striving to do my best, but you know, all in all, it goes to show you, you know, you don't have to listen to what other people are saying, you know, oh, you can't do this, oh, you can't do that, but do whatever makes you happy. You know, life is too short.
First of all, Justin, thank you so much for your service. Next off, that is so inspirational. That is so inspiring. You found yourself at a low point, maybe the lowest in your life, but you kept picking yourself up. You kept clawing towards your dream. And now look at you. You kept going, and now look at you. You made two games, both with active communities. Despite everything you went through, you did that. You accomplished all that. That is amazing. That's a story that could really motivate someone right now. That's amazing.
And that's what I'm trying to do, you know, and part of my inspiration, you know, behind it is just being tired of not completing life goals, you know. You can like make a game from scratch, you know, I can scratch it off my bucket list, you know, now that I made a game, you know, and I wanted to make something enjoyable that I enjoyed making it too. But a lot of games are just stale to me right now too, and I just wanted something more for my life. But Dead Event, you know, is just like a mass multiplayer online like role-playing game where the player grows as a creature, and the creature gets bigger and bigger over time with interactions in the game. And when you die, you lose some of that growth. They can like form a colony and stuff like that, and be part of like a player created ecosystem where they eat each other, kind of like other games where like Snake, you know, you get bigger and bigger the more you go, but it's like a RPG, and it just kind of blew up. You know, I didn't expect it, and like I said, I didn't expect anything out of it. It was just trying to do that for my resume to kind of build my portfolio.
That's amazing. And I think it's that old saying, if you work for your dreams, then one day your dreams could work for you. It's like I'm like, you're killing it out here. And it's a really cool story. And I really commend you for, you know, just clawing your way back up and making your dreams happen.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So let's dive deeper into Dead Event and Movie Quest. They're both very different games. So what kind of inspired you to go in such a different direction after Dead Event to Movie Quest? You know what I mean?
That's a good question. Yeah. So basically with that being said, I made Dead Event realizing it was a niche. And I didn't realize it until after, you know, when I started to kind of tell people about it. They're like, oh, you know, it's not my game. It's not my kind of game. You know, I don't play survival PvP games. I don't do that. You know, it was hard for me to kind of like get people into the game. Only certain people were like all in. So I thought to myself, and my income was starting to go from the game was going down a little bit, you know, because it kind of started to lose traction. And I said to myself, what can I do to gain that traction back? What kind of game does everyone like? Oh, everyone likes to watch movies. Like who doesn't like to watch a movie, you know? So I thought, why don't I recreate all the old classic movies and put them into a game and make my own movie theater? Because I thought, how cool would it be to open your own movie theater, you know? But I don't have the money for that. So I just made it myself, you know what I mean, kind of thing. And now I literally am selling advertising spots, if you know, and literally making my own theater. And Movie Quest kind of gave me that traction back. You know, it's starting to pick up, and some days it's doing better than my other game. So, you know, the first game was kind of like a trial run, like, is this really happening? And then this, once you do it the first time, it's easier the second time. Like I slapped that thing out the second time. So fast, and it was like half the time because I knew what I was doing, you know. And the first time I was making the game, I had no idea. I'm just like, you know, banging a hammer on it, like I have no idea what I'm doing. But the second time it was a lot easier.
Yeah, it's almost like that Minecraft effect. You know the controls now, so everything seems like second nature, you know?
Exactly.
It's like a muscle. It's almost like muscle memory, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You learn the craft, and now like everything afterwards becomes slightly easier, unless you're going in a completely different field. Then, you know, there's new challenges with that. But still, I mean, that's amazing. And as a 90s kid, that was always one of my dreams. It's like, one day I'm going to get super rich. I'm going to have my own movie theater. Like,
and you that's got what I was dreaming about.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels really weird. It's like I do own a movie theater, but it's like, it's so weird because I see people like in it, like I'll go into the theater and I'll actually like see them like sitting down watching a movie. And it's so strange to see like it's really cool, actually, in a sense. I'm hope to like reach out to like, you know, big companies like Fox and 21st Century. Maybe they'll give me deals to put their movies in there too, and maybe some YouTubers as well. But yeah, it has a lot of potential behind it. It's kind of just a prototype, early access right now.
Yeah, I mean, that would be really cool, especially to see like other indie movies in that as well.
Yeah, true.
That would be really dope. I'm a pretty big like anime fan, and recently there was a fan-made version of like Dragon Ball Z where this guy like completely remade his adaptation of Dragon Ball Z, but it kind of paid homage to like the original version.
That's awesome.
It blew up on YouTube, but that's beside the point. Like, it would be really cool to see something like that in the theater as well.
And I'm open to it. Yeah, I love supporting other indie developers, especially stuff like that, you know, and I really think that that's something that, you know, we're going to grow into for sure. But yeah, it's pretty challenging, you know, to do all that. It wasn't easy.
Yeah, for sure. So here's a segue question, though. It kind of leans into what we've been talking about with Movie Quest, but kind of like in your own personal interest, what's your favorite movie of all time?
Ooh, well, I would probably say probably Night of the Living Dead, the old one. I actually didn't really think that would be my answer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, put on the spot like that, and it's just without thinking about it, that's what came to my head. I didn't watch the full thing, and not many people really seen it because it's like the first zombie movie ever.
Yeah.
But if you actually watch it, it's a pretty good movie. You'd be surprised, you know, and that's one of the movies playing in my theater as well. Mm-hmm. And I was glad to kind of pay, you know, homage to that too.
I was hoping you would say something that's not currently in your theater, because when you said Night of the Living Dead, as a person who's experienced Movie Quest, I was like, well, that's already there. Because I was going to ask you, though, what would be like the big, like,
if I could put it like a Hollywood, you know, kind of label on it, I would say, like, I'd probably say I Am Legend.
Okay,
I like
that movie. Be really cool.
That's a cool movie. Or, you know, I love a lot of zombie movies. I'm more of like a show person. Like I was really big into Walking Dead. That was my thing for a while. Mm-hmm. I heard they're going to make a movie too, which I'm super excited about. But yeah, that I love all the zombie stuff. That gets me excited about everything.
I got you. So a zombie movie such as like I Am Legend, or maybe like the Walking Dead movie, or even maybe like a World War Z kind of movie would be.
Yeah, basically is where I fall into.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say I really have like a favorite. So mm-hmm.
I was really curious on what would be like that get hype. My life is now complete. I got this movie in my movie theater.
Well, I do that with superhero movies sometimes, like the Thor movies. But those, I expect everyone to get hyped about all the Marvel stuff, because that's always cool to see, you know.
That's really amazing. So let's dive into the game development itself. What were some challenges that you had while developing Movie Quest and Dead Event?
Well, I wouldn't say it was anything technical, because technical stuff is literally, you can YouTube it nowadays. All the information's free. Most of it's self-motivation. My players are shocked that 120% of the time I'm on beast mode. You know, what I mean by that is I'm just shocked that more people are not on beast mode with their lives, because there's people living paycheck to paycheck that are just comfortable. It's the weirdest thing to me. You know, I honestly think people need to follow their dreams. Unless you're number one in your industry, you shouldn't be chilling. And if you are number one in your industry, you have enough common sense to know that you better not be chilling still. You know, every single day of my life, I'm getting 120%. I don't have days where I feel like I don't like it or I don't want to do it. Why? Because, you know, my family's counting on me. I'm counting on me, you know, and I don't have days to waste. You know, a lot of people give 50% effort and, expect to get what the people that give 120% get, and you can't give low effort and get what you want. It's just a fact. You know, I hate you know, some people don't want to hear that, but you just can't. You got to give more than you're expected to give. And you don't just wake up one day and be like, oh, my goals are accomplished now. What do I do next? You know, that doesn't happen like that. You know, it comes with blood, sweat, and tears and hard work and beast mode determination. That's what I talk about that. Like, you got to get going. You got to get hyped about it. You got to, you know, have fun with it. And especially alone, you know, doing an entire team's worth of work as an indie dev is not easy. You're the artist, you're the composer. You can hire people, but usually we don't have money for that stuff. And some people care about more about watching TV and, you know, than grinding at their dreams. All the information is available. All the technical information is free on the internet. All you have to do is make it happen. You know, it bothers me when people give up and when they come across an obstacle, especially. I think that's the hardest part about it is when you come across an obstacle, people just give up. And, you know, like, oh, you know, I can't afford assets. Well, there's free assets. Oh, you know, I can't buy assets. There's like $5 assets. There's no tools available. No, there's Unity. Like, oh, you know, I don't have the time. Yeah, you do. What do you do after work? You know, you're just chilling and you want to be a game developer, but you're chilling. You know what I'm saying? You need to rise up and tell that obstacle, you know, I'm here just like you're here. You know, the obstacle's there and you're like, I'm here too. And I will not leave without this dream happening. And until I get it, you will not defeat me. Like, you straight up will not defeat me. And I get excited about that because I've been through so much hell in my life. You know, there's a huge story when I was a kid too, but that's just a whole nother thing. You know, I'm going to get something out of my pain and suffering. I didn't come this far in life to not do nothing. You know what I mean? And life said I can't do it. And I did it. And if I can do it, being homeless out of my car, you can do it too. You can definitely achieve your dreams. You just need to believe in yourself, never give up. But it's crazy. You know, I'm sitting here wearing a shirt from my game. Look, it literally, look at this.
By the way, this is insane. Really good shirt. Yeah. I like the, and, I like that.
Yeah. It's a creature from one of my games here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a fan made it as concept art and we started selling merchandise together. You know, I gave them a cut of it with what we sell. And I never thought, you know, I'd be at this point. I'd be selling merchandise with my game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was never even a thought in my head. And here I am making it happen because of, like I talked about, beast mode. You got to go 120%. You got to put in the effort. Otherwise, it's just going to stay a thought in your head. You know, life is great.
Like? What did it feel like to get a shirt made after something you created?
Once it came in the mail, I like almost screamed. It was so exciting. You know what I mean? Even if my game didn't make millions of dollars, I just made enough to quit my job. You know, life is crazy and it's not easy, but you got to get something out of it. You know, you got to overcome and you everyone goes through something and you got to get something out of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just be like, oh, you know, maybe one day I'll make a game and then you're 70 years old and you're like, oh, too late. Like, I mean, you still make a game at 70, believe it or not, but you got to just apply yourself. You know what I mean? You can't wait till you're on your deathbed saying, oh, I make a game or, you know, I'm going to do this and that, but you gotta give it 120, not 90, not 50, not 100. You got to give it 120. You got to give it everything because time is the most valuable thing. You can make money, but time is always against you.
That's amazing. That is amazing. I admire your mental fortitude because not everyone has that drive and determination. I mean, it is one of those things you were alluding to it earlier. And it's hard on some days, especially when you're like, when that complacency sits in, when that like, that
when you get complacent.
Yeah. When that laziness sits in, that complacency sits in, it's the easy thing to just sit down and just watch a show or like say that
I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. It's that easy thing to procrastinate, but to really give it 110%, 150%, to really push yourself when you really don't feel like doing it, that's when you actually start to see the results. Like, it's a compound effect. And
you make it happen with your life, you know? Mm-hmm. You manifest it because you could literally sit there and do nothing and nothing will happen. Or you can just do it. It'll be painful. I'm not going to say it was easy. Like I was singing and dancing the whole time of making games. There was times that I about cried and there was times that I about was like, you know, I'm done. This is hard. And then the next day I just hit it again. You know what I mean? And just scratch at it until it broke. And it just grew into all the pain and effort that I went through just became something. You know what I mean? Cause you don't do all that for nothing. No. And even if you don't make money off your game, you know, or whatever you do, at least you did it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's almost like climbing a mountain. You know how they say, like, you're not really given money for climbing a mountain or running a marathon, but it's that personal. You did it. It's that personal satisfaction.
And it's those little goals that have, why do you think, and I learned this from the military too. Why do you think they may have you make your bed perfectly in the military? No one knows. They just think they yell at you to make your bed. No, it's because they're trying to get you to complete one goal when you wake up, an easy goal. You make your bed, boom, there's a goal. It gives you momentum for the next goal. You made breakfast, boom, there's the next goal. You go to work, boom, there's the next goal. You set small goals for yourself. And then those small goals, you'll be like, you'll get such a repetition of winning and doing all these goals that when you go up against something big, like, oh, make a game, boom, there it is. You know what I mean? Like, you just make it happen. But you got to be bigger than the obstacles. You have to.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Justin, it is amazing that you were able to overcome that and still have this mental fortitude, this mentality, this like never say die attitude of like, I can make it. I can claw myself there if I got to. That is my last breath. Astounding. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I just, you know, I want something more in my life. You know, you're tired of, you know, and I bet I could speak for a lot of people. It gets tiring doing the same job every day. You know,
For sure.
And you have to do it for your family. I'm not saying quit your job. No, I worked a job for over 5 years while making a game 2-3 hours a day. Sometimes I only got to touch the game for 20 minutes, 5 minutes. Literally, I remember my wife calling me to bed saying, hey, it's time to, you know, it's 3 a.m. Maybe you should get up, you know, quick 5 minutes and make and code this line. You know what I mean? Like 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. They all add up. You know what I mean? And I really think that I've sacrificed a lot to get here. It wasn't easy. And I think that anybody can do it. Because I, like I said, I was literally working dead end jobs in a call center, you know, kind of doing nothing with my life. I lived out of my car for almost a year. And now I'm literally a game developer. It's insane.
That is, and it's really cool how you got here. Let me throw a curveball at you. Let me give you, this is a question that is completely out of the blue, but you are someone who's very driven. You're someone who can see a purpose through. Like, if you were given unlimited funds, let's say a Microsoft or a Sony, or even maybe like a Steam through like unlimited money at you, what type of game would you want to make? What would be like the big budget Justin Sour J type of game?
Well, I think that, man, you got me on this one.
Yeah.
You know, I really think there's a lot of competition out there, first of all, and you really got to do something different. And that's kind of what I did with Movie Quest, is kind of do something different. So if I had unlimited money, what I would do is probably make like a new survival game to compete with Rust. I don't know if you've ever seen Rust, but I feel like the game is like super toxic. And it's unenjoyable, but it has a good game mechanics for, you know, that kind of game. But I feel like I would make the next best survival game. You know, there's a lot of that kind of genre is a little bit dying, and it's kind of just like Rust. And, you know, I like the whole, it's just like Minecraft. You know, you start out, you get some wood, you build a house. That's like my thing. So I would kind of take it to the next level in that sense and mix it, you know, with other genres too.
I would be on board to play that. That sounds like a game I'd completely like jump into. Because like you said, I don't necessarily like a Rust for the reasons you listed. I like the mechanics of it, but I don't necessarily like the community aspect.
Yeah, as soon
of
as
it.
You spawn in, you get killed with someone with a rock. Like literally some naked guy with a rock, like immediately. And he's like swearing at you in the mic and you're just like, okay, I'm just going to like log off now, I guess.
Yeah,
like you didn't even get a chance. You know what I mean? Like they could have been done better. And that's such a big company, you know. Not to talk bad about it, because I respect the creators, but the thing they need to have you spawn in a safe zone. You know, you can't spawn around a map. There needs to be some sort of, you know, area protected area that you spawn in, and you know, more of like a town and things like that. I just think it could have been done, executed better. You know, more levels to travel to and things like that.
Yeah, I get it completely. We're not talking bad about the game itself. It's just we're just saying it could go in a completely different direction that would probably have some more user-friendly experiences.
Absolutely.
Involved with it. Yeah, I completely agree
with
that.
I'm just saying, though, the reason I mentioned the bad thing is because those creators have the money to do it. Why don't they do it? Like, that's what gets me about AAA game studios is that, you know, they have so much money, and it just seems like once they get that money, they forget about what the players actually want. if you look at the reviews on Rust, literally says like, spawn in and die. This isn't fun kind of thing. And, you know, they're making so much money off people that enjoy that toxicity that they don't really care. And they kind of lost that whole thing. And, you know, the creator of Rust, he made Gary's Mod prior, and that had so much passion into it. And then this game, it seems like it was just like a money grab in my sense. And I really just think that it could be better, and they could have done it way better. And that's the thing with indie devs is we can outwork AAA studios by listening to the community, because that's where we stand out. And as an indie dev, you got to listen to your community, because building up that community is what's going to keep you as a developer.
That makes so much sense. I'm going to throw an idea at you. You and I talking kind of gave me an idea.
Sure.
And you feel free to veto this. Like, I love what you're doing with Movie Quest. Have you ever thought about taking it in a different direction, maybe doing a side game called like Concert Quest?
Yeah, I think that's funny really cool. You mentioned. I actually wanted to at one point, when I first made Movie Quest, it was kind of like a venue. Like, it wasn't a movie theater. It was like a lobby venue, and I was going to have movies there that people could play, YouTube things I could play. And I was planning on opening the front doors and having like an outdoor concert stage where people can do karaoke and things like that, like with your microphone, like it'd be funny. I thought it'd be hilarious to see like people really actually singing the songs and stuff like that. And or bands playing and having a virtual concert there, and things like that. You know, EDM artists would be really interested in it. So that is a great idea. I thought of it, but I just went to the movie direction route. So it wouldn't be something that would be hard for me to create. I actually probably might steal that idea, but no, I'm just kidding.
No,
we'll
no.
Have to get together on that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But yeah, I was just thinking about it because like the concept that you have with Movie Quest, you can very much spin it off into virtual concert kind of adaptations there. You can like maybe call it Concert Quest. You can have
that's true.
Yeah, you can have three different venues kind of going on. It can kind of almost be like Coachella meets like maybe that EDM vibe. Or
that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, while we were talking about it, I was thinking like virtual concerts are like the big rage right now, especially when you see like Fortnite, how you see like Travis Scott or Ariana Grande, they're all doing concerts right now. And I was thinking like Movie Quest is a very cool idea, especially in this in like pandemic world that we're living in right now. And you know, the movies are just now starting to get momentum, starting to get their footing, but I feel like they only got their footing with like major movies, like Top Gun, Marvel movies, exactly. That sort of thing. No one's really rushing out to the theater right now to see like smaller scale movies.
Especially not public domain movies you can see for free. That's why I kind of did like a prototype. Like, let's see if I can show movies. Like, is this possible? Like, I didn't even know if I could pull it off, you know?
Yeah.
It was like a Frankenstein when I started it up. Like, it's alive. I can't believe it, you know? But it works. And I really think that would be a great idea to do that stuff too. So, and I'm always open to ideas, because that's the thing, like as a creator of any kind, you know, you have to have that open mind. So
yeah, for sure, for sure. Not trying to pressure you into anything, by no means. I was just like, oh, that would be a pretty cool concept as well.
And it's a really good idea actually, and I think that could go a long way. Have you ever seen Mystery Science Theater?
Like, that name sounds familiar.
Show. It's basically a show where guys sat, like you could see like their chairs, like the back of their heads in the theater. And it was like a robot and like a guy, like a couple robots. And they would commentate on bad movies. They would watch free movies would commentate and like kind of do voiceovers, like talk, like lip sync, like talk over the person that's talking in the movie and make fun of it. And that's kind of where I got like a lot of inspiration for Movie Quest too. Like, I thought it'd be funny to kind of do that with your friends, like go see like an old movie and just like laugh about it or something, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And talk about it. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
First of all, Sour J, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I want to thank you for sharing your experiences, your personal journey, your personal story, and hanging out with me for a bit to talk about your two games, Movie Quest and Dead Event. I'm so glad you came on the show today, because you really are a cool story and an inspirational story that I think people need to know about. And once again, I thank you for taking the time to really just diving in with your life story. That was really brave of you.
Well, absolutely. You know, and I look to be an inspiration for not just any game developers, but for anyone really. You know, anybody can, if I can do it, you can. Let's just put it that way. You know, I remember literally eating trash out of why I was homeless, and now, you know, I got to order some food. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it didn't just wake up like that, you know, and you got to work for it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So before we go, do you have any plugs or anything you want to shout out? Where can the good people find you?
Well, first of all, I want to shout out to you, and I appreciate the Pro Nerd podcast for having me. I'm a huge fan of your show. I
Thank
love
you.
it. And you can find me on Twitter at SourJ the Creator. I'll also be doing YouTube tips and motivation YouTube videos for game development. You know, I appreciate your time and thank you for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have both the links to his social media accounts and his YouTube channel in the episode's description. So be on the lookout for that whenever the episode launches. Thank you again, Justin. We really appreciate you coming and spending some time with us today. And I can't wait to see what you do in the future. And anytime you're ready to share about like a big game development or maybe even a huge update for either one of these games, just hit me up. We're going to have you
Cool.
back on the show.
I appreciate your time and have a good one.
So that's a wrap for today's episode. I want to thank Justin, aka Sour J, for joining the show today. So that's a wrap for today's episode. I want to give a special shout out to Alec Taub for being on the show today. I also want to let you know about the Single Player Experience Discord server. It's the perfect place for single player gamers to talk about the good single player games they've been playing lately and to get video game recommendations. Think of it kind of like a book club for single player gamers. The link to join will be in the description. Once you're in, feel free to share your video game backlog list, talk about the good games you've been playing, or give your feedback on the show. If you have a game that you think should be recommended or that you think I should talk about, let me know in the Single Player Experience Discord server. I'll see you there. Before we go, I just want to thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Stay safe, stay gaming, and I hope to catch you in the next one. Peace!